WIOX is supported by Pika Moose Restaurant on State Route 28 in Big Indian, with farm-to-table cuisine Thursday through Monday. Indoor dining at a safe distance from 4 to 9 p.m. and patio-heated outdoor dining on the moonlit deck. Take out till 10. PikaMoose.com or 845-254-6500. 845-254-6500. WIOX is supported by Mountain Flame in Arkville, featuring a range of products for home heating solutions. A variety of fireplaces, wood stoves, and gas and pellet stoves are available and on display. For sales and service, Mountain Flame in Arkville. Warming home since 1980. Details at mountainflame.com. WIOX is supported by Margaretville Hospital, a member of Westchester Medical Center Health Network, with a pharmacy open to the public in the hospital lobby. The Margaretville Hospital Pharmacy, a participant in New York State's Drug Take Back program, improving water quality and protecting public health by taking back outdated prescriptions and keeping them out of rivers and waterways. More information at 845-586-1344 or hahv.org. WIOX is supported by Restless Works, a contemporary architectural, interior, and graphic design studio specializing in residential, commercial, and hospitality projects, as well as branding, marketing, and apparel, and web design. Based in Andes, Restless Works does projects throughout the Catskills, the Hudson Valley, and New York City. More information at 845-676-6190, 845-676-6190, or restlessworks.com.
Hi, this is Arnie Schwartz, host of Talk of the Town, alternate Tuesday evenings from 6 to 7 on WIOX Roxbury, serving New York's Catskill region at 91.3 FM, WIOXradio.org, and MTC Cable, Channel 20.
Okay, you are listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20, and at 107.5 FM on the campus of SUNY Delhi, on smart devices through the radio FM app, and everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate. This is From the Forest. Every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
Things are all right. How are you?
I'm good. It's been pretty hot out there, you know. Was mowing my lawn yesterday, and it was warm.
But, I hear you.
Whatever. It's not as warm as if you're cutting hay, I bet.
Yeah, I saw farmers all over the Catskills doing that.
Yeah. But I got some trout fishing in. I think I mentioned that last week, and just messing around with hides and tanning and stuff like that. But that's about it.
Cool. I've been doing some trim work in my house and using some ash wood. since there's abundant ash everywhere, can't all go to firewood, so some of it is trimming my house now.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And then today I saw a whole bunch of grouse on separate occasions.
No kidding.
I don't know what was up today, but they were out.
Grouse were out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, when's the season, John?
October 1st. It's a little ways away, but it was just nice to see.
Yeah, that's cool. Wildlife, I don't know. I've been seeing just a lot of deer, really, kicking them out of the bedding areas while I walk around.
Yep. Yeah, me too. I've been seeing the same. Any bucks yet?
Yep, I saw one yesterday. No, today. Today, yeah. In velvet, obviously, with little nubs starting to form.
Cool.
So that was cool. But last night was a pretty cool night. A lot of lightning bugs out where I am in central Ulster County. And the lightning was just insane coming over the mountain. Really fun to watch.
Yeah, I was on my porch as it was getting dark watching that. And until it started to rain. Actually, I got some rain. And then it rained hard overnight, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I was asleep. But, well, tonight's topic is Cairns of the Catskills. Cairns, like, you know, a stone pile of the Catskills with Danny Johnson. Danny, how's it going?
Good.
So, how you been? What you been up to?
I've been working the hay fields.
It's hot out there.
It's very hot. Yeah.
Probably get a pretty good tan out there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta drink some water or something?
Oh, yeah, tons of water.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So, before we get into the show, just tell us about yourself. I guess you're from Halkett Center in Greene County?
Yes, lifelong resident there, dairy farmer, and recently retired.
Nice.
Back to work on the stone piles.
Stone piles, and so you've probably seen a lot of changes up there in Halkett, huh, over the past, I don't know, how
Not
many decades?
Really.
No? It's remained the same pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Any less or more farms or what?
No, there's more brush. Less farms, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so that's at the head of Halkett, I guess, where the farm is?
Yes. Right at the south side of Bear Pen Mountain.
Okay. Cool. So what got you into stone piles? I guess how would you define it or explain it? What do you mean by stone piles? Is that the right way, or would you say it some other way?
Or Cairns, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did this happen? How did you find Cairns?
Well, I would get around these stone piles, and I would have panic attacks. And it took months of doctors and talking and so on, and before we related me being around the stone piles. And then I started meeting other people who were very familiar with what I was going through. And I was finally able to get an interest and talk about it. And eventually the panic attacks went away. It became a favorable feeling.
Huh. So what do you mean? Like you'd be driving around and something would come over you and...
Yes, or walking through the woods.
Yeah.
And there'd be a panic attack for no reason.
So when that happened, what would you do about it?
Generally, I would just be very afraid and, you know, go back home. And it took months, actually, before I realized it was when I was near these stone piles.
Yeah. And, all right, so tell us about these stone piles. How many have you found?
Well...
And in what areas?
I started this in 2009 and started circling the farm and then began spreading out a little more. And my job every day took me around the Delaware waterways and Ulster County and Greene County. And again, the panic attacks had become something I was familiar with and no longer threatening. And so just driving down the road, I would get the feeling there was Cairns nearby, and I would have a direction I would walk in that direction, never more than 200 yards, and there would be Karens.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're like a magnet, is what you're saying, to Karens.
Yes.
Well, what do you think, John?
So, can you describe the Karens, like, that you see? What's the variation, and I guess, describe what you're finding?
Well, I've learned to really recognize the Karens, the work done by the Native Americans. I can see a huge difference between that and the colonial stone walls and Mason work today. There's only been one pile of stone out of the 6,000 that I've studied here that I'm not sure of.
What makes you sure or unsure about the origins of a Karen?
I can always find something within the way that it was laid up. There is actually pictures in some of them to have stone birds laid in, other animals.
Like inscripted in the middle, or?
Yeah, such as
etched in on the rock.
No, not etched in. I have found some petroglyphs, etched rock. But no, they would take tiny stones and form the shape of a bird laid in amongst the larger stones or another animal.
Huh.
Sometimes there would be a spiral shape up the cairn of the tiny stones.
Yeah. Was that really common, you think? I mean, you know, it's funny you say that because I found a stone when I was hiking in the upper West Branch Neversink when I used to live in Frost Valley. It was the shape of a face. I still have it. It's in my room. And it was like 15 years ago I found it. And one side is totally a smiling face, and the other side is a frown face. I mean, it's obvious. Has a chin, everything. Do you think that's what... You think they sought out those stones? Do you think they made them, or what? What do you think? They just happened to be like that?
Well, I also found a face in the Millbrook Stream. It's about 6 inches in diameter. And although the stone, when it was created, had different layers, they had chiseled through the top colored light layer and beneath to make eyes. The layer beneath was darker. And then they had actually etched in what looks like hair on the top side.
Hmm. That's interesting. So, I found some stone piles before, and it was at the headwaters of this one stream. And but I can't say whether it's from... There's also rock walls nearby that is definitely a farm. So how does one decipher between the 19th century, where there might be stacking rocks for maybe buckwheat plowing or whatever, and a Native American or an ancient stone pile, do you think?
Well, the European-built stone piles are all laid tightly together for the most part, even though they're odd-shaped rocks. And it's uniform to the top. The cairns are not. They'll look more haphazard. Some stones are tipped on edge or at a 45-degree angle. They were placed in there that way intentionally, but these cairns have still held together.
Yeah. Okay.
So what's the importance that you know of these cairns? Like, why were they built by Native Americans? Do they signify a resource of some sort?
They were all built, I believe, for spiritual purposes. Some of them represent, such as the turtle cairns, represent the Native Americans. Sort of an, it would be Atlas to us, but it was the turtle to the Native Americans. And the turtle and the muskrat got together and created land.
Hmm.
So there's three different styles. Either they represent stars, or they represent animal effigies, or they represent a festive atmosphere. Now, as far as I know, they could all be burials. I don't know that for sure. Many of them, they know, were burials.
Some have been, they've dug into some or excavated or no?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I have not dug into them myself, but
yeah.
I've talked to professors and archaeologists who have.
And they verified it.
Yeah.
What have they found in there?
Like necklaces,
yeah.
Stone tools, other things that would have been part of a burial.
Yeah. And if you find a stone or a bone or something like that, then you can actually age it, I would imagine.
As far as I know, they've never found them. And the reason for that is both the stones that represent the Big Dipper that Glenn Kreisberg had found, they were dated 3,000 years old. The map of the Little Dipper on the farm is dated to 3,300 years old, so there would be no bones left.
Okay, that makes sense. 3,000 years ago. So what do you mean by that? What's the map of what? Is this the map of the stars I've heard about, I know nothing about?
Yeah. The one on the farm consists of 36 stars. It's a map of Ursa Minor. All laid out perfectly to scale. So precise that the center of every cairn is dead on in respect to the other stars around the Little Dipper.
Really? And you've had this, like, have you verified that, huh?
Yes, I work with a professor. He's the one who did the dating.
Yeah. No kidding. Oh, go ahead, John.
I was going to ask, how much area does this cover on your farm? Like, what size is the... I assume there are multiple cairn piles to assemble this, the Ursa Minor, right?
Yeah, there was 36 piles of stone, and they covered 5 acres. I have not seen the stone map of the Big Dipper.
Yeah.
That's my next goal, is to visit there.
Is there any, like, particular... Well, first of all, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is Cairns of the Catskills with Danny Johnson. Is there any particular area that is more prone or susceptible to having these cairns or stone piles than other places?
I haven't really found any yet. Everywhere as I go, I find them. So... what I have discovered is that Lexington Township seems to be the center of the stonework in the Catskill. Huh. There's a tremendous amount of stonework in Lexington.
Elevation? Is anything up in the upper elevations above like 3,000 feet or more?
Yes, I've found them at every level. There's no more or less at any level.
What's the highest you think? I think that would be the reason why I ask is if it's above 2,500 feet, 2,700 feet, that's about the maximum pasture line for most areas on average.
Right.
According to Dr. Kudish there. So... yeah, what's the maximum you found it at, you think?
Well, most of them in the lower elevations, I believe, have been destroyed by the farmers, early farmers. But a lot of early farmers did respect the Native Americans' religious...
right.
So a lot of the cairns were saved. They were walled off separately. Animals were not allowed to graze there. And so they tended to last in better condition and everything up in the higher elevations above the wood line.
Yeah.
Where the farmers were not working.
Yeah, and you could see how people might, over hundreds of years, confuse the stone piles for some kind of agricultural thing.
Yes, well, that's what I was taught when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I run into some disagreements with people when I tell them they have the cairns on their property. Now, when I look at the cairns,
yeah,
it looks to me like the same mason built every one of them. Now, we know between Halkett and Phoenicia, there's 300 years different. But
what do you mean?
Between the map of the Big Dipper and the map of the Little Dipper. But they still all look like the same person built all of them.
What makes you think that from looking at them?
Just the design. When you see, you know, a woodworker's specialty or a stonemason's specialty, you can tell his work when you see it. And this is what they all look like.
Hmm. Okay, let's describe them. What an average cairn or whatever looks like.
The average cairn in this area, here in Roxbury area, is anywhere from a small beehive-looking stack of stones up to about 6 to 8 feet across and 6 to 8 feet high. When you get into Lexington, they're huge. They have chambers within them. They'll be 20 feet across and 12 or 14 feet high.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge. And what do you mean by chambers?
Openings large enough, if you move the rocks around, you'll find like square boxes, although sometimes they are egg-shaped or more of a rectangle. Large enough for a bundle of bones.
The ones I have found always seem to be, but it might be just where I hike, at the heads of watersheds almost. I don't know. Is that, or it doesn't matter? It's all across the map, you're saying?
It's all across the map, although they were attracted to water many times. You can see where they even turned the small streams on the mountainsides and brought it through the cairn field, where you would have 6 or 8 cairns. They would bring the water down through it.
Yeah. Oh, really? They'd bring water through it?
Mm-hmm.
How would they do that? They'd divert the water or something?
Yeah. Like where there's a small spring on the mountainside. I have seen where it's been diverted.
No kidding. So it seems like, because I was reading that book by Graham Hancock, and it just, he's talking about these ancient civilizations, and it seems like these dates just keep getting older and older, you know? Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, is that, they keep going back more and more than we originally thought.
Yeah, well, when, you know, with being able to date them properly and everything, yes, they're finding them older and older.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is Cairns of the Catskills with Danny Johnson. We'll take a break, but we got some more questions for Danny, that's for sure.
Virgil Cain is the name, and I served on the Danville train. Till Stallman's cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. By May the 10th, the Richmond had fell. It's a time I remember oh so well. The night they drove old Dixie
All right, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is Cairns of the Catskills with Danny Johnson. So, Danny, we're talking off the air. You said you found a stone axe.
Yes, I did. It's beautiful. It's about 6 inches high. It looks like a little hatchet, white as snow.
Tell us about how you found that.
That was in the beginning. With the panic attacks, I found myself on the farm taking a break, and I would always look at the same place on the mountain, and I'd have to shake my head, and I'm like, why do I keep looking up there? I'm going to have to take a walk. So one day I walked to the area where I had always sat there looking at. There was nothing really special about it. But I was walking up a little stream. And this location is right between Bear Pen Mountain and Vly Mountain on the south side. And while I was looking, I noticed between my feet in the water something white. Looked like a piece of porcelain. And then I'm looking at the hills again there. It's nothing special. So then I noticed the white thing again. I bent over to pick it up. And as I straightened up, it was a warm summer evening. Towards the end of summer, the sun had gone down. And there was a noise like a bolt of lightning. Not a big rumble, but a snap. And I fell over backwards, dropped what I had picked up, and thought maybe somebody had shot at me. That's all I could think of. Then I got myself together, and I was like, where's the white thing I dropped? I picked it up, it was covered with mud, I washed it off in the water, and it was a beautiful stone axe. Ads, they call it. I call it an axe, but it's actually an ads. And University of Binghamton was in Arkville looking for Native American tools and whatnot. So I brought it to them. They dated that to 4000 BC. It's Lamoka. It was actually came from a mine in Lamoka Lake, New York. They was very pleased. I loaned it to them for a time. They had it on display. So that was really my first find. It was after that that I got into the Cairns.
That's crazy, man.
What was their explanation for it being there? Jesus. You know, especially in the Catskills.
Yeah, really.
There was no explanation. You can find those pieces from Lamoka Lake all over New York State.
Right, because the geology doesn't match up to the Catskills. And now, an adze, can you explain that a little more, how it's bifurcated or chiseled or whatever? I don't really remember.
It looks just like a small hatchet. It's elongated, smoothed on the sides to a very sharp point, cutter head. The top was coned down to about an inch and a quarter diameter. And it looked like it had been longer but been broken off. So it could have been a hand tool or it could have been attached to a stick.
Now, where you found it, is it was it a spring seep kind of area or was it a running stream, a larger stream?
No, it was a spring seep, and it was around, would have been around 2,300 feet elevation.
What do you think drew it to you? Was it a feeling, or you think you may have seen the glistening off that white rock from below?
No, it was a feeling. I think that later manifested into the panic attacks, and that went on to me discovering the Cairns.
Yeah. So what are you telling me here? That Something has chosen you to find these Karens?
Well, I have talked to other people in the Catskills who were going through the same thing at the same period of time, around 2009. So a professor friend of mine contacted the Smithsonian, and they sent a representative up who told me that my story was not unlike many others across the United States were going through at that time. I was the fourth person she had visited that week. And we were all having the same similar goings on. And her next question was, do you know anything about 2012 and the Mayan calendar? And I guess probably most people know about the Mayan calendar. It ended in the year 2012. And she was searching for some kind of possible correlation between what we were doing with the stone piles and the Mayan calendar.
Have you talked to any Native American people about this, or is there anything like that going on?
The Native American people that I talk to have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, things have changed. Yes. 2,000 years will do that, probably.
Yes.
It's kind of like I know nothing about Dutch people from 300 years ago.
Right. So part of my goal is to create an awareness. I do that with local contractors. I have found Karen fields that were being torn up. Karen's torn down to build a house and so on. And I'm not against that. We have a right to do, you know, with our property what we want. But I just want to create an awareness, and sometimes I stop and talk to these folks, and they're like, well, we're going to see how many we can save, but still put the house up. Or they're interested. And other people don't care. And that's fine. It's up to the individual.
Hmm. What other noteworthy places or stories, findings, do you think, that come to mind? The axe is pretty hard to top.
Yeah, that is. That is pretty hard. But the petroglyphs, which I have not shared with the professors yet, I'm real eager to find out what those drawings are and what they might represent.
Yeah. Well, like what? Like what do you think the petroglyphs are of? First of all, what's a petroglyph? A lot of people may not know what that
is. Well, carving in the stone.
Of like an animal or something?
No, like letters, symbols.
Okay.
But I don't see any like human or animal figures into them. It's almost like a written communication of some sort.
Yeah. Interesting. And where have you found those? You don't have to say obviously exactly where.
Well,
but
only in Hawkett.
Yeah.
So far, I found two stones that have been chiseled.
Huh. Amazing. John, you're going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, how far do you get around? And, you know, are you asking permission on other landowners? Are you mostly going up on public land and your farm? Or where are you looking?
Mostly public land. I do. If I see them on private property, I will ask permission. Most people are pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people just say, oh, man, this guy's nuts.
Yeah.
He's looking at stone piles.
Oh, yeah. I've had them call the police on me, and they come and check me out. They let me go again, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't kept it yet?
Not yet.
We'll see. But If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Tonight's topic is the Cairns of the Catskills with Danny Johnson. So, Mike, what do you got going on next? Where do you think you go with this?
Well, pretty much I've decided that this gift I have of being able to find the Cairns was meant for me. And I'll try to share it with like-minded people. There's not a lot of interest, really.
Yeah.
And I'm documenting everything I can and photographing, so there will be some records in the future. I've recently retired from work, so now I've got more time to spend doing what I love to do.
I would imagine there's a community of people that are into this, though. You know,
there is.
There's got to be, because there's, you know, like that Graham Hancock guy wrote that book recently, and it ties into this, and it was a popular book. I mean, I bought it, and so there's got to be some interest out there. Maybe not here, but
yeah, there is. There's different circles depending on whether you are a professor, archaeologist, or a dairy farmer. I have no credentials except a high school diploma as far as what these Cairns are about, but I know a lot about them.
Yeah, I think for, yeah, the credentials isn't important to me. It matters if you're right or not. You know, you can have all the credentials you want.
Right.
But the proofing part, I think, is important, you know, and technology is increasing so much. Where we can actually date some of these things if you can find something or whatever. I know Glenn Kreisberg from the Overlook. What is it? The Overlook Mountain Society? What is it? Do you remember?
He is.
Overlook.
Well,
Center?
I know him from New England Antiquities, the NERA organization, which has a lot of members, several hundred members. They study stonework in all of New England.
And what do they say? What do they say about all this? What do they say about what your findings are? I mean, you've claimed to have found 6,000? How many?
6,000 documented. It's got to be closer to 10,000 by now.
How do you track all that? 6,000? I don't even...
It took me 4 years to hit the 6,000 mark. But... Okay, so...
That's a lot.
The job that I had... I drove for a trucking company locally. And during the time of the panic attacks, I would be driving down the road with my delivery, and these things would happen. I had a map with every delivery I made. I would put an X on the map, and then weekends or after hours, I'd go back, and there would always be more Cairns, more Cairns. So I'm driving through the Catskills every day, and it just seemed like it was my job to map these things out. They wouldn't leave me alone.
Now, I remember you telling me that your father was a skeptic, right?
Yes, he was.
So, how did he turn around? First of all, what would he say as a skeptic at first?
Well, he was in such disbelief that he finally went. He didn't have much time to do it, but he went on the internet and he looked up Cairns. And shortly thereafter, he was an authority on Cairns.
He was an authority. What do you mean? He did some web searches and he's like, "All right, this is my thing."
Right,
now.
right.
Well, what convinced him? Like, what was the hump where he was like, okay, yeah, this is definitely an ancient thing now. My son's not insane.
I'm not sure. I guess he just seen enough proof that, yeah, I was not insane at that point. But he thought I was way out there before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest, and tonight's topic is Cairns of the Catskills with Danny Johnson, and we'll be back shortly. We've got some more questions.
Yep, the wife and our fussy brother, that's our right. 'Cause me and that sweet woman's got a license to fight. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. 'Cause if you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine. Oh, the woman on our party line's the nosiest thing. She picks up her receiver when she knows it's my ring. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. If you mind your own business, then you won't be minding mine. When she walks by, why don't they mind their own business? Mind their own business. 'Cause if they mind their business, then they won't be minding mine. Now if I want to honky-tonk around till two or three, now brother, that's my headache, don't you worry about me. Just mind your own business. Mind your own business. If you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine. People's business seems to be high tone. I got all that I can do just to mind my own. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. If you mind your business, you'll be busy all the time.
All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. Tonight's topic is Cairns of the Catskills with Danny Johnson. And we're talking about ancient stone piles in the mountains. And we only got about 12 minutes left. Yeah. So what story would you like to go into?
Well, recently I discovered on the side of a road where a skidder was driving a little circle of small egg-shaped stones. But the circle continued out bigger and bigger. Three circles all connected, larger. And then it went off into the leaves. So I started moving the leaves, and there were bigger stones and bigger stones in a line, about 30 feet long, and there was a big triangle stone at the end. So to me, this was a snake, a serpent, whatever you want to call it. Right next to that triangle-shaped stone was another triangle-shaped stone and a body going in a different direction with a coiled-up tail at the end out of small egg-shaped stones. So, it's not just the Cairns. There are more smaller animal refugees. Over near the Devil's Tombstone, there is a small stone about 16 inches high that's carved in the shape of a human being with a bundle in its right arm. And there's all sorts of other little statues. After 3,000 years, you can still make out that they are animals or humans. But they can be very hard to notice in the woods. until you get an eye for it.
Well, that was something I was just thinking about, is how much is this is covered in debris? And you mentioned moving leaves. Is that something you often have to do, is uncover leaf litter and dig deeper?
Yeah, I never have to dig. They've pretty much stayed on the surface quite well with the type of soil and the rock formations that they're setting on. Most of it is above ground.
Hmm. And what about mounds? Have you ever found any mounds?
I have not found mounds that I've recognized.
Yeah.
Some of the local excavating contractors have steered me towards mounds that they felt were not an original part of the landscape in the Catskills.
Right. The reason why I ask is because there's a place where I hunt in the Walkhill Valley near Pine Bush. And there's a house there from the 1700s, but there's what we call the mound. It's very small, and the people who own the house think it's, some people believe it's, yeah, it's ancient. But it's really weird. Just a little mound, middle of the field. You wonder if either the Dutch settlers built it or they were attracted to that area because it was cleared initially. Who knows? I have no idea. Or it's really old. I don't know. But mounds is kind of like, there's a lot of information in the mounds as you go to the Midwest, but not so much here as much.
Right. Right. It is more of an event alongside the rivers and on flatter ground. They could have been more of them in the Catskills, but erosion could have taken them away, or basically camouflaged them till you can't recognize them anymore.
Yeah. Those have been documented over and over again, at least the one in Illinois or wherever it is, that serpent mound.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty old. I don't know. What do you think, John?
I've heard of that Serpent Mound, but I don't know anything about it.
All right, so if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest. Tonight's topic is Cairns of the Catskills with Danny Johnson. Talking about ancient stone piles here. And got a few minutes left here. Is there something that you want to leave off on? What do you think? Is there any place that stands out to you? Yeah.
No place in particular. I guess the site in Lexington would be the greatest thing I know of here in the area. I am going to be setting up a website if anyone wants to contact me or is interested in the information I have, or interested in just seeing the stone piles, or if they have stone piles on your property,
yeah,
and they would like to share them with me, I'd be more than happy.
I'd like to take you to a couple sites that I've always wondered about.
We'll
one,
do that.
Yeah, one site in particular in Ulster County. It's on the edge of town of Denning and Olive, but I don't know. It's a little remote, but it's not too bad.
We'll have to do that as soon as possible.
But, tell me a little bit about that antiquities organization. Who is that again? Is it Northern Antiquities or Northeast Antiquities?
New England Antiquities Research Association.
Yeah.
NERA, NEARA. Yeah, that can be Googled.
How involved are they in all this? Do they come this way often?
Yeah, they have invited me to visit sites with them in the area, in Stanford, Andes, different places.
And Do they mention other mountain ranges have this as well, like the Berkshires, the Whites, the valleys there as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're way more prevalent than most people know.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder about that. I mean, you would think the greens would have everywhere, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the 6,000 that I found is all within a 20-square-mile radius here in the Catskills.
Hmm.
Do you have any area you haven't explored yet that you're itching to go to? Maybe, I don't know, even outside the edges of the Catskills.
Yes, there is. When I travel outside of the Catskills, I will see cairns on the mountainsides on the back road sometimes, and I'm anxious to get to all of it I can. There is a professor within NERA organization who had discovered the Hammonasset Line, which runs from Hammonasset, Connecticut, into the Catskills. It's a line of cairns that can be Googled, the Hammonasset Line. He felt that it went through the Catskills to the Great Lakes. And I have to get in touch with him. I believe that I found the end of his line in Lexington.
Hmm.
But we still don't know yet why this straight line of stones runs all the way from Hammonasset, Connecticut, right on. Actually, he believes there's stone monuments in line with that on Montauk, Long Island. But that line runs from Hammonasset. He's followed it into the Catskills.
I mean, the only thing I can think of why Lexington might be more noteworthy is just because it, I have to look at a map, but it sits in between a lot of watersheds.
Yes, it does.
The Schoharie's on one side, the Esopus or Hudson's on the other, and the Delaware is obviously on the other side, surrounded by some big watersheds.
Well, it's been my knowledge of my grandparents' teachings and on back that to the Native Americans, it was sacred land. The Lexington area, Halkett area, Roxbury. Other than traveling to Delaware, they rarely went into those areas. And I believe that's why a lot of the cairns in the area are connected to the burials.
Hmm. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. It's interesting to think about. And, I don't know. I guess it's one of those things where if you're not open-minded to it, you just won't notice it. You know? It's, reminds me of fishing. Some streams I've walked by a million times and then all of a sudden I start looking for fish and they're loaded with fish. So, it's the way the woods is, I guess. But that's all the time we have. I'm from the forest. And if you missed it, tonight's topic was Cairns of the Catskills with Danny Johnson. And next week we're going to be talking about our favorite forest types. Not that it's kind of hard to do, but we'll try to talk about, I don't know, John, some favorite forest types, you know? Hemlock versus maple, oak. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that one, and that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, think about it. So, all right, see you next week, and take care.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing, and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A
faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way, getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games in an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town.